Last week we learned about God's testimony about Jesus, his son. What are they? There are three. Jesus came through water. God used water, his baptism, to testify about him being the son of God. God pronounced over Jesus that this is my son. And God also used Jesus' blood, his death on the cross, his burial and the resurrection. And through that, God loudly proclaimed to mankind that this is my son, the savior of the world. And from that day on, forgiveness is preached through all the world, and that everyone who come to God in Jesus' name is saved and have eternal life. You were not there. I was not there. But God gave us his spirit that testified to Jesus today. And all of us who come to faith in Jesus have experienced the whisper of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of the Holy Spirit in our own life that Jesus is the Son of God. And we experience the power of Jesus in our life. And that's how we know that Jesus is the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit remains today to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. That's wonderful. That's the third testimony that God gave to us to tell us that Jesus is God's Son, the Savior of the world. Wonderful, wonderful. Today we will finish up this letter, the first epistle of John. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to chapter 5, we'll read from verse 13 to the end, verse 21, a short passage, but it's wonderful for us to see how he summarized everything for us here. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sins does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourself from idols. Father, it is your pleasure that we walk with the Apostle John for a few months here and learning from him. And we are blessed with his writing. And we are here today to read and study and hear from you about this last part of his writing. Teach us today and speak through me. Anoint me with your spirit, that the word will flow from you to the people who are here to hear the message today. May Jesus be glorified. Amen. In your Bible, the translator had given a heading to this last section called the concluding remarks. The first part of this ending deals with the Apostle John's purpose for writing. Here in verse 13, we read that I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This sums up what he has said before. And if we look back to chapter 1, verse 4, John said, I write this thing to you so that my joy or our joy will be complete. What John is saying there is that he's longing to have fellowship with the believers. John invites us to have fellowship with John and have fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. So in that fellowship, John said, my fellowship with you is complete when we are sharing. So the same thing happened in us here. When we have someone's hurt, someone is suffering, someone is in need, we go in and we share. That's part of being in communion together. Not only communion with God, but communion with one another. That's part of the reason John writes. And so he's not only wanting communion with them over there, but he also is having communion with us here. And as we study these words from John, we are having communion with him as well. And chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I write these things to you so that you would not sin. Part of being in communion together, in fellowship together, in the body of Christ, is that we watch over one another. If you see me walking on a path that will lead to sin, it is your responsibility to tug me in and say, hey, come back. That is not where you are supposed to go. We do that with our children all the time. When our children are behaving in certain way that we know will lead to harm's way, and we pull them back. That is the same thing what we are to do here in the church. And John is telling us that his writing is really to pull us back as part of holding us back. You have responsibility over me. I have responsibility over you. We have responsibility over our children, but also with one another. That's what part of what fellowship is all about, because we already have eternal life. Now, if you turn to chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, he said something that talked about our identity, our identification in God. And here he said, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the words of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. In this section, John is calling believers to find their identity in God and in Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven, and they are now in Christ. They can live through the power of Christ, through whatever circumstances that come into their lives. Not only that they overcome circumstances, they have overcome the devil, the Satan himself. Now, this passage really gave me a reflection upon life. And I think it's a reflection upon our life collectively together. We have grown up in lives. We have come through a lot of destructive labels that people have put on us. I told you about the label that I received from my brother and sister as I was growing up. That label stayed with me for a long time. That label is like pressure put on your head, put on your neck. It just put you down. As long as you still remember that label oppress you, destroy you. Daniel and I and Pastor Gongcheng, we went to encounter last week. And as Daniel and I, we talked about life and how we grew up back in Laos and talked about the oppressions that we experienced over there, the put down that we experienced as we were growing up in Laos. Even today, as we live here in America, 40 years after we left the country, we still experience the put down in our lives. It's so real. So real. Now, if such labels by other people putting on you, putting on me, had the power to really push you down and step on you like that, imagine that labels coming from demons, coming from Satan himself. As long we experience the oppressions for a long, long time. Let's just take, for example, Yang, the Yang clan. All the Yang men are oppressed by the demon and the curse. That curse over Yang man, we don't know how long it had been there. The story just said long, long time ago. Could be 1,000 years. But it is a curse upon the Yang family, and today the Yang family has not been able to overcome. It is just a label that said you are cursed. You men are cursed. Now, that kind of curse doesn't happen just in one family, but it has happened to all humanity. Let me explain why. The label that Satan put on humanity is death. If you think about it, Satan said, you are sinners. You're destined to death. 3 feet underground, that is your eternal home. That got into your psyche, got into my psyche, got into the psyche of the world. Even now, the intellectual in the world just said, atheists would say that is the destination of man. We are destined to die and that's it. There is no life after death. That's all we are. When we die, we are done. That's the kind of label that the enemy put on you and put on me. And men, of course, not willing to be told that their destiny is death. So we have someone like Buddha coming up and said, well, I think we are really reincarnated after we die. And Satan will come back and say, yeah, you think so, huh? Because your sin is there. Talk to Buddha. What Buddha said about sin is that if you trying to get away from sin, it's like you take a broom and sweep on a rock. And age after age, you're not able to sweep that rock away. That's how hard it is for you to get out of sin. Jesus came and gave us understanding. The gospel teaches us that, yes, we cannot overcome sin. We cannot overcome death. And Satan used sin and used death to suppress us and to take over our lives until Jesus came and said, I have overcome death. I've overcome sin. Your sins are forgiven. Not because of anything you have done, but it's because of my sacrificial death on the cross. You are free by believing. Your destination now is not in death. Your destination now is not in underground. Your destination is in heaven. You are created anew in the image of God. You are a son and daughter of God. You are destined to rule. That is who you are in Christ. That's who you are. That's the new you. That's the new label that God wants you to have. Jesus teaching us that that is who we are. How can we be sure that what Jesus said is true? The Apostle John said here in verse 14 that we have this confidence because our prayer has been answered. It's very simple. God doesn't give you anything that's so hard for you not to remember, but He gives you something to hold on, that if you ever pray to God in Jesus' name and God come and answered it to you, that is God giving you assurance that you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, you're destined to heaven, and death is not your place to belong. You belong in heaven, and that is God's testimony for you. Now you can look back into your life and said, have my prayer ever been answered? And I know you will find one here, you will find one there, you probably find more than one. And those are testimony that God giving to you, God giving you assurance that you are the sons of God, you are a daughter of God. Keep that, live with that, and say to the demon, say to whoever stepped on your neck and said, you be gone because I am a son of God, a daughter of God. That's what John is talking about here. Amen. You already have that. God already gave that testimony to you deep down in your heart, deep down in your life. You know that my prayer has been answered. So John has summarized it to us very well. Now, there's something else that we are to do. What John is talking about here. Now that you know you have been saved, you know that you are a son and daughter of God, you know that heaven is your home and not death, not that 3 feet underground. That is not the place where you belong, but you belong in heaven. Now that you know that, John said, when you see someone in sin, he's not talking about someone that you heard far, far away. He's talking about someone that you see. That is in sin. I pray for that one. That one will have life. What Jesus, what the Apostle John is talking about here now, your call is to pray for people to come to faith in Jesus so that they will have eternal life just like you. You don't have any other job more important than that. There's only one job that God assigned to you, and that job is in God's will. Paul writes in Timothy chapter 2 that God's will is that everyone will come to know Jesus and receive salvation. God's will, you don't have to find, what is God's will for me? God's will for you? I don't know. Maybe we should go and pray. No, the Bible already said here that there is one will that God is giving to you, and that you are to pray for those who are not saved so that they will come to salvation. God's will is given. Don't have to look for it. Don't have to pray for it. It's already given. You know it. It is here in the Bible. I'm speaking to you right now. That's your will. That's the will of God for you to do, to pray. Pray for other people to receive salvation. And that's what eternal life is all about. We are here not to build up a name for ourselves. The board met yesterday and we talked about the spiritual attack upon us as we're trying to build the church. Sometimes we think about, well, it's about me, it's about us, it's a name for us. No, it's not that at all. The message here is that we exist so that other people will come to faith. We exist to pray for other people so that they will receive salvation. We have only one goal, and that is to bring people to salvation. We're not talking about people we don't see, people far, far away. No, God is talking about praying for people that we see every day. People in our neighborhood, people in the workplace, that we see them. That we know who is not in God, who is not saved. We pray for those. Now we're building this new building. It's not for you. Sorry, man and woman, it's not for you. You already destined to heaven. You already have a place. You already saved. It is for our children who don't know that they have salvation. It's for our youth. It's for people in the community who don't know salvation. And we build this up so that we have room for them to come and learn the message that they are destined to heaven. That's what God has for them. The second part of this is that Jesus is true God. We learn in the TEE, the life of Christ, that Jesus is the true God, just as God the Father is the true God and the Holy Spirit is the true God. Without Jesus coming to tell us, we don't know that Jesus is the true God. We don't even know God, the true God in heaven. Humanity has worshiped Satan. The Bible teaches that Satan is the God of this world. Like all people in the world, among people, worship Satan too. If you don't believe me, I want you to go and buy a book. It is in Hmong, but you all have to learn Hmong. You go to the ABC bookstore in St. Paul that sell the book on Hmong funeral rites, and you read them. You will read and you will see the Hmong worship, Hmong animistic worship there, and you will see that we worship Satan. We worship Satan. And everything about Hmong animism, that is worship of Satan. Now there are other people that not only worship Satan, but worship the fallen angels as well. The Hmong worship demons, and those demons are the fallen angels. But we call them Da. But the Thai and the Lao call them Te Bada. They give a beautiful name, so they set altar on the backyard and front yard, wherever they go, in the fields, worship these Te Bada, falling angels. But they don't call it falling angel. They said angel from heaven, we worship them. These are the falling angels. How do we know they are falling angels? Because only falling angels receive worship. The Bible teaches that the holy angel, those who are not fallen, don't receive worship at all. We read in the book of Revelation that the angel showing Jerusalem to the apostle John, and he was so amazed that he fell down at the angel's feet. And the angel said, no, don't do that. Don't prostrate before me. Don't worship me. There's only one that you should worship, and that's God. The holy angel will not receive worship. The one that receives worship from us, when we invite them into our home or into the altar, we worship them and we sacrifice to them, they receive worship. Those are the fallen angels. They are not the true holy angels. That's why they come and ask your mom and your dad, your grandma and granddad, and want you to worship. So Buddhism is a idol worship, ancestor worship. You worship the dead ancestor. That is idol worship. That's why we don't prostrate. We don't bow to anyone. And Jesus taught us that because he is the true God. All right, let me just conclude. Now you know that by believing in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life, that you have overcome this world. You have not only overcome this world, but you overcome the power that is in control of this world. You already have that power because Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Father is in you. You are in Jesus. You are in the Holy Spirit. You are in God the Father. You are sons of God. Nothing on earth has any power to remove you from God because God is in you. God is greater than anything in creation. How do you live your life then? How do you live your life? what the Apostle John said here is that there's only one reason to live life now, and that is to pray for those who have not received life. I was talking to Tua the other day, Tua Vang, at home, and we talked about the value of humanity. You know, if you go work for an employer and you get injured, let's say you die, the system in this world will look at you and say, let's look at this man's life and how much is he worth? They find a figure, maybe a couple $100,000, maybe $1 million, maybe $2 million. They're willing to pay you. They said that's how much you worth. If there's a company that's going to drill oil in the sea, they know it's a risky business. They're going to drill. People are going to die. They might call 100 people to drill at sea. Some people are going to die. They can calculate these people that we hired to work in the sea, this is how much one of their life will be. They put a value on you. They put you on a scale and said you don't worth more than $1 million or a couple $100,000. The insurance company look at you and say, now you have over $500,000, we won't insure you because you don't worth it. That is what the system of the world is telling you. You are worthless. You were just a little tiny bit. And they'd be willing to pay you off because you are nothing. This is what the world's saying. But listen what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you got the whole world and lost your life, what would that do to you? What Jesus is saying, that just a single human being is worth more than this whole world put together. What Jesus is saying is that you worth more to God than anything else. You already overcome that. God already saying to you, speaking to you, that you are the son of God. You are the daughter of God. You're worth more than anything in this world that would have to offer it to you. And go and live life and said, I'm worth more than anything in this world. I'm worth more than what people want to label me and want to point to me. They might want to say, you are dirt. You are don't worth this. I don't even want to insure you because your life is not worth $100,000 or $1 million, whatever. That is what the world say. But God said, no, you're worth more than that. This whole world put together isn't worth as much as you are. Take that, live with that, proclaim that, and know that you are loved. Let's stand and pray.